Heavenly Father, today we put on the full armor to protect us against attack. We put on the belt of truth to protect against lies and deception. We put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts from the temptations. We put the gospel of peace on our feet to walk in your light, peace, and freedom with the Holy Spirit. We rebuke anxious thoughts. We take up your shield of faith for protection to block and destroy all the darts and threats thrown at us by the enemy. We put on the helmet of salvation to cover our minds and thoughts, reminding us that we are children of a mighty King. We are forgiven, set free, saved by the blood of Jesus. We take up the sword of the Spirit, your living word, that has the power to demolish strongholds and is sharper than any double-edged sword. We come to you, Lord, in prayer daily. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. What's up, you guys? Welcome to The Imagination. I'm your host, Emma, and today I'm honored to introduce to you a testimony of hope and healing through survival and teamwork brought to you by an incredible duo who are both here today to share the struggles and triumphs of healing from satanic ritual abuse. Introducing our first guest, satanic ritual abuse and mind control survivor, YouTuber, first-generational New Zealander, credentialed counselor with a specialization in narrative therapy, communication skill, small group training course facilitator, traditional herbal medicine advocate, retreat co-facilitator, and healing warrior, Poppy Joy. And our second guest, introducing 50-year-old Kiwi mother, healer helping survivors of satanic ritual abuse and extreme trauma, specializing in Brandon Bay's The Journey Method for emotional release and cellular healing, an intuitive empath helping survivors to recover themselves and take over their soul light power, Marie Freeman. Poppy and Marie are here today to share with you an incredible journey of healing from unfathomable events. Poppy, as a satanic ritual survivor, has recently been liberated from an immense amount of trauma that her body was struggling to contain anymore. She hadn't found the support she needed until things reached a psychotic break after a therapist she had trusted embodied Baphomet and dealt her out a vision of tough love, as she called it. She received some welcome help and miraculously got herself into a safe living situation and could focus on herself more. Her physical symptoms got more and more chronic until she was mostly bed rest, meditating, doing what she knew, but was unable to let the pressure cooker pot of suppressed memories out. It was then that Poppy met the amazing Marie, who connected with her through her Mayan reports. Poppy would call Marie in moments of distress and panic, and Marie would tell her she could work with her to support her healing. But it took Poppy a while to trust, having been burned by others who do not understand the complexities that come with satanic ritual abuse. And what Poppy and Marie have discovered together is amazing. For example, due to the age and stage of SRA, at 2 years old, Poppy experienced her eyesight and hearing never developed normally, and her perceptions have been energetic, which means that she can observe the movement of energy, experience some telepathy, and with focus can see how black magic practices are done. Poppy discovered that rituals are done to empower government legislation. She found how consciousnesses are connected to calendars and astrological systems, and that rituals are performed with dates and planetary alignments. She is super sensitive to cults and dangerous religions, but did not become that way without having many dangerous experiences with them. Church spiritual abuse had tainted her concepts of Father God and the mind connection, and intuitive interactions with it brought Poppy to know the true Heavenly Father and connect with him more while also being connected with Mother Earth. Marie and Poppy's story is important as it showcases the importance of finding what works right for your individual healing needs if you are a survivor, as well as finding the right person or team of people to help assist you in your healing. Healing is the most important and crucial part of awakening from horrific abuse, such as SRA, and all too often survivors are met with corrupt, complicit, cult-active, or negligent therapists and helpers who cause the survivor who is reaching out for help to retreat back into a place of conservation, silence, and more trauma, and let down again by someone they took the risk to open up to. These conversations, like what we're about to have today, are important to have regardless of your political, religious, or even worldly views. In order for survivors to heal, we need safe people like Marie to be able to step up and advocate on behalf of our wounded warriors and help give others more tools to add to their toolbox of healing modalities and options. One size does not fit all with healing, and we are going to explore what has worked for Marie and Poppy through the unique work Marie does to help victims of ritual abuse and mind control. Marie's journey in helping survivors recover themselves and liberate the takeover of their soul light power. She was born wide awake in her soul's memory of who she is and her assignment here on Earth. As an intuitive, empathic, and telepathic child, she could see, hear, and know the pains, problems, secrets, love, light, and past and current shadows and intentions of other people and animals. Marie says that pedophiles and baby snatchers knew she knew about what they were doing to children, and she was waiting to know when and what to do with all the information from her memories and knowings. Now as an adult, Marie gets to fight against the very forces she knew were malevolent as a child by helping survivors on the other side of trauma. I'm really excited to learn from Poppy and Marie and ask that all of you warriors on the other side of the screen, please give them your full attention as we're about to learn more about healing and the power of divine intervention on today's episode. Before I finish introducing today's guests, I just wanted to give a couple quick reminders and updates. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast or share any information privately with me, please email me at imagineabetterworld2020@gmail.com. You can also use this email if you'd like to be a part of my new book series featuring written survivor testimonies, and you can find the video with all the details on how to submit your testimony on any of my podcast channels. And lastly, I'd love your support on Substack, where I've taken up investigative journalism as an outlet for me to share about my podcast guests and advocacy work. And you can subscribe to me there at www.emmacatherine.substack.com. All my links are in the show notes, and I'd love your support across all platforms, you guys. Thank you all for caring so deeply about survivors and for helping to make this the safest space on the internet for survivor disclosures. So you guys, without further ado, please help me in welcoming today's guests of honor, Voices for the Voiceless, anti-child abuse advocates, and an incredible team of spiritual warriors who were destined to meet to help one another and to now use their experiences and voices to help you and I. Introducing Poppy Joy and Marie Freeman. Ladies, thank you so much for being here with me today. What an honor.
It's an honor. I've been waiting for the right place to really get my story to come out, and I've been looking, and I'm really, really grateful that it can be held in this container. Thank you so much.
It's my honor. You know, it's how we were talking before we started. Every story is a puzzle piece, you know, and it can be really scary to speak out, and I know that this stuff isn't easy. So I thank both of you for your courage. You know, I have the easy job of just listening and sharing, and you guys are the warriors coming out speaking, not even because you want to, but because you know that this information can be really helpful for people on the other side, and you get to now take your puzzle piece and put it in the puzzle now and help other people. So I'm so grateful to have you both here, and it's really exciting to have a survivor and a helper here so we can talk about this beautiful journey that you guys have been on together. But before we do that, Poppy, I wanted to give you a little bit of time just to give some context and background on your story and sort of how your story and your background and what you went through led you to Marie. And then we can get talking about your journey together.
Yeah. So my parents were both from England, and my mother grew up by the Exbury estate, which is Jacob Rothschild's estate, or no more since he just died. And so her mother was a school teacher on that estate. They only had like two classrooms. And her father was like a nuclear physicist who worked in a hospital during the war, and wasn't called up for war because his research was used for the war. And he carried a lot of guilt for that over Nagasaki and Hiroshima. You know, now as I see everything, I just realize there's just blackmail and everything. And so my mother, one of the things that really helped me because my memories were repressed, and it took me years and years and years to actually start really remembering. I knew I could pick up different sexual abuse. I could pick up, and I had this terrible rage towards my parents, especially my mother. And I one day she gave me a little book, and it was like, a little report, and it was like her memoir, and she'd written her memoir, and she had talked about having sherry and Christmas tarts with Eugene Rothschild, who she said was a very nice man. And I was in that moment went, oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. And I just knew that she had also, because, you know, she was on Valium a lot growing up, and she was like incredibly harsh. She had no capacity to really love. She was like particularly rough on me. Like, she became really my handler, my major handler growing up. And I sort of felt a little bit of compassion towards for the first time, instead of all this rage, you know, that I was really having trouble to contain. And at that time I was homeless. I was targeted by the government for speaking up about possibilities that people could be healed naturally from cancer as a retreat facilitator.
Yeah.
And so we were being pursued, which was just exactly the same kind of scenario I felt as a child, being pursued by bullies that seem to want to take you out. And so, you know, what I've understood now is that we just keep having events. We keep magnetizing events to ourselves, which are similar to anything that's unresolved as a child. So that was really an example. And yeah, and then one day I was talking to my mother, she's passed on now, and I just I erupted with all this information. I just couldn't keep it in any longer, because like my neck wasn't even sitting on my shoulders properly. I've had a lot of spinal issues. I'd been healing lots of cancer, and I believe not full-blown Morgellons, but I believe that there was Morgellons, and that there was even a bit of experimentation done on me with substances and things that have even gone into this vaccine. you know, so there was all sorts that was going on. But my mother, I was with my mother. I wanted to spend as much time as I could with her before she died. I wanted her to be able to leave this planet with as much connection to love as possible. And I just really felt that this was something I needed to do. And it was very hard to be around her, because she just triggered me left, right, and centre, and she always wanted to be in a fight. And in the end, I was just saying to her, Mum, all that matters is love. All that matters is love. We're not going to agree. And so, you know, this was where I would handle it at the end. But she started to tell me again about this Eugene Rothschild, and you know, because she was very proud of the sort of elite connections she'd had growing up, and I really challenged her, and I said, Mum, how old were you when you had these, you know, this food with Eugene Rothschild? And she just immediately sort of pulled back, and because I just tend to read everything all at once, what I downloaded was she was far too young, and she was quite defensive. And you know, I hadn't even looked into a lot of other people's stories, and I didn't even really know the common themes, which I'm only discovering through shows like yours and through like Jeanette Archer's experiences and other survivors' experiences. But when she sort of said that, I, you know, the next question, I mean, she was in her 80s, and I didn't want to put too much pressure on her. And I was like, oh, you know, I was so angry with the Rothschilds and the banking. And I hadn't even put together that my ritual was connected at that point, and the first ritual. And she was just sort of like in defense of them. And I was just saying, those terrible people, you know, what they've done and the banking. And I was like, oh, you know. And then I realized I had to pull it back, tone it back, hold it back, you know, because It was actually all too much for her, and I'm pretty sure that she had suppressed all her memories. Since I've sort of connected with her spirit, since she passed on, she confessed to being programmed. But I don't want to have anything to do with her spirit anymore. And so that was sort of like, I think that's where it connected me back to England. And then I had actually met Marie, I think, when I was looking after my mum. And it was just sort of for all the last 4 years drama, or it was all starting. And so I was kind of taking care of my mum, but
19 around there. Is that about 2019?
Yeah, it would have been, or 20.
Something like that.
Yeah, so because I wrote this Mai and stuff, and I did the sharing, and I didn't know, but Marie was, she had been reading that, and then she put a little comment under it. It's like, oh, I'd like to meet you or something, and oh, where are you? And she was only like half an hour's drive away. So we organised to meet each other, and I went to see Marie, and we kind of just loved each other instantly, and we found that we had this connection, and we're excited to talk about different things. And, you know, like my healing wasn't on top right back then. I didn't actually realize that what I was carrying in my body was all to do with the abuse. But anyway, we made that connection, and we sort of saw each other a bit. And I think Marie had the ability to see me a lot more clearly than I had the ability to see her at that time, because I was so under such a heavy weight of abuse that it really interfered with my receptivity and my fine-tunement, you know, all of that sort of thing. But anyway, I was really grateful because the connection had been made, and we just sort of stayed in touch a little bit here and there. And then about almost a year ago, I had been with she was actually started off being a friend, and she said, look, I'm ACC registered, which is like, it's called the Accident Compensation Corporation here in New Zealand. And, you know, I could help you. And I, you know, I've got my counselling now, and I've got my rongoā practitioner, which is the Māori way of healing. And I was like, yes, I really want to help, you know. So I was like, yes, 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 I'll definitely go for that. And so I actually, the claim sort of started to go through, and I started to get support from her. But what happened over time was that I was losing my sense of agency, and I was losing myself. And I didn't really realize, because connected with her was kind of a lot of cultish, religious things that came on. And I, you know, I actually loved some of it. I thought, wow, this is great, and I want to apply this and practice all of this. But what was happening was I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And we'd treated this, you know, like we thought it was all cancer, but I think it was kind of Morgellons as well. And I treated it with black salve, and it was really tricky because I ended up at her place during a lockdown, and she sort of was kind of thrust into looking after me because it just went really out of control, and it was just this pain, and she didn't even know if I was going to survive. And I, you know, it was really, really serious, and I had to pull back on the treatment and stop it early so we couldn't get everything out. And I had some temporary relief of symptoms after that, but then they just started to all come back. And so there was blockages in my neck, and there was a lot of swelling, and in my head there was a heck of a lot of pressure, particularly on my left brain. And even now I've sort of got this little droopiness over my left face, like it just doesn't move, and it's like in here, and that's still healing and clearing. And done a lot of work with Marie and in that area of the body. It's like layers of things are there, and they're coming off. But it got to the point where I was experiencing a lag in my neural responses, and I had this swelling in my glands and my neck, and I was in a living situation that just was not safe for me. I was with someone who was very angry, and because I pick up everything energetic, and I was just getting triggered, and I, my needs were so great, and this person wanted all my time and my energy, and every time I was there, and I was just like lost and flipping out, and I ended up calling this this woman and letting her know, you know, that, that things were so serious. Because the other thing was, I was incredibly, I have fear of the medical establishment and the hospitals, which obviously is like, well, I think when we get broken, they must fix us up somehow. But I have no memory of how, but I know that I just have terrible fears, and I've had a near-death experience, you know, in the hospital. And so I was like not wanting to go down that channel with everything. And so she was like, oh, well, you better come around here. And I did. But what had happened was, in the interim, she had been dealing with this man who had introduced her to Baphomet, and she had told me that she'd had this experience of embodying Baphomet, and that she had felt personality changes, and I was seeing these personality changes. So before, like, she was almost like my best friend, but she started to become contrary towards me, and it was like everything that was happening in the opposite, and I was feeling less and less safe with her. She was closing me down when I was trying to talk about the abuse, saying, oh, there's people that are worse off, and, you know, all sorts of, yeah, it was just really an example of extremely bad therapy. And, you know, like, I think this is a really important thing to mention, because we need to find the right therapists, we need to find the right support, and there's very, and it is a specialist area. And so, even though there, I have since met very safe people that know now with the more modern therapies of, you know, the polyvagal system and parts therapy and narrative therapy and all of these things, that it is there. But, you know, it was meeting Marie that she's got the lowdown on and the expertise, like she knows it through and through, you know, not having necessarily experienced it totally in this life, but definitely having had experienced it and having that empathy. Yeah, so what happened is I got myself into a situation, and her whole idea was that there was an eclipse coming, and we were going to go up north to a place called Spirits Bay, and I was going to just walk. And at that stage, I'd lost all sense of agency. Even though I'd been trained as a therapist and all of that had got out the window. I was not seeing this was dangerous. I was kind of like used to being in abusive situations, and it was kind of like normal, although I was having these hesitations, and I was not liking the sort of, there was a threesome that was involved with another one of her clients, and I could feel all sorts of stuff happening in the background. And so I was trying to be very careful. Anyway, we went there, and they had a massive big storm that night, and all the beaches were closed, and I ended up dragging this heavy tent. You know, I was really on light duties because I could hardly, you know, I couldn't even walk properly. And anyway, I dragged this heavy tent, and then next morning when I woke up, the lags in my neural system were so bad that I could barely walk. And I had, and they had gone out for breakfast, and then I had just done my things to try and take care of myself, and I was sitting in a chair, and they came back, and she kind of shooed off the other friend, and then she just went into this energy, and I felt it. I felt it. I knew something was terrible was going to happen. I felt trapped. There was nothing I could do. I was in psychosis. It was bringing up another memory which I had. There was another memory when I was 15 months of my mother sexually assaulting me, at the moment that I thought I was going to bond with her, because we didn't bond at the birth and all of that sort of thing. So I never had any human, you know, that I grew up with that I felt safe with. They were all My father was incredibly controlling. He was blackmailed and pulled into the two-year-old ritual. I'm pretty sure my brother, it happened to him, and he's just filled with hatred towards me, thinks I'm making all of this up. My family all turned against me. I have the love of one daughter who believes me because she has truth radar. So you get cut off from everyone, you know, you have no one. And I had no home, I didn't have safe places to live. So this was the situation I was at. And she said, I just need some comfort, you know, like I was in pain, my brain was, it was all swollen, I couldn't walk. She seemed to think that I was making it all up. And she had even said to her son, oh, I've got a dying woman coming to stay. And, you know, when she said that to me, I think I've been programmed to just hold it, you know, and you don't let any response get shown or seen. So I just had a non-response. Anyway, her whole thing was that I had to get to the bathroom to find comfort. Now, I couldn't even walk. And she was just adamant that I had to do this. And it was her place. So I was in there. I had no sense of agency. And I just rolled myself onto the floor and, you know, kind of bruised my knees up. I was a bit angry and I could have got off the chair another way, but I was so angry with her and her demands. And I started to pull myself towards the bathroom. And I got halfway there and I just thought, this is ridiculous. I don't want to live here. I don't want to live. This is all too hard. There's no support. There's nothing. And I actually started to go down through the floorboards and through the dust, and it was like I could see it all and go into a safe place. So, and I don't know how long I was there, but she told my flatmate, which she shouldn't have done, that I was on the floor crying for 2 hours. And so at some point, you know, then I needed to go to the bathroom, and I thought, shit, if I lose it on the floor, I'm going to get into more trouble. And so I managed to pull myself out and stand myself up on furniture. And I found if I could take these really big wide steps, I could make it out. And I, you know, went and relieved myself on the ground and then lay down. And when she came out to the cabin, she demanded, how did you get out here? You know, and I was, And she was still like, she was obviously really, really possessed, and she was saying a lot of harsh things, and she was saying, it's all your fault, it's all your fault, it's all your fault. And it was just going into my being, because I was actually there, you know, ideating my suicide, you know. So I just didn't, you know, I couldn't see any way out. I was really, really stuck in that, and the suicide programs were just coming up with full force. And I had a plan, and I was just going to let the river take me. I was going to put my arms like this and go down a river feet first. And, you know, I couldn't resist because of the paralysis. And I just thought, oh, look, it'll all just be over. And, you know, I was really trying to convince myself that I had to do this. And but then she said, I need to go and talk to someone. Do I have permission to talk to this person? And she was the other person from that threesome. I said, yes, go talk to her. And she said, and don't you commit suicide. Don't you do that to me. And she was just talking like this. And I was just like lying there. And it was enough to actually stop me. And like, there's always been a miracle. Every time I've got close to suicide, there's always been a miracle. And I think it always comes back to me. It was always for me, it was connecting with Mother Earth first. I had such a resistance to the Heavenly Father because of church abuse, and, you know, now I've really found myself back, you know. And it's no wonder that it's head injuries, you know, because that we connect through the crown, you know. And so that really brought it up. And then even yesterday, I had a really tough day yesterday. I got very triggered by Rothschild's death, and when it's all your fault, it's all your fault came up, and then I realized there were programs in there and other rituals where someone was chosen to die and be the sacrifice, and then I was blamed that they died, you know, and it was all put on me. And it was just another layer of guilt, which I actually felt, well, I can pull this off before we meet, and I could use the techniques that Marie had shown me. And through the journey therapies and everything and the remembrances, and it's like being a detective, just a detective on your own life. And because I see into those dimensions and I see the energies and I see like the demonic spirits and the actual reptilians, and you get to see these sorts of things, I actually got to see the contracts written and how I was sold by my parents. And you know, I was so angry. I was like, how could they? Like, why? And, you know, but that realizing from one of the journey therapies with Marie that they were blackmailed and that my father was pulled into a ritual. And I believe he seemed to be drugged. He was not himself in that ritual. And this is when I realized that they actually write legislation on these rituals. And because my parents, it was like we've had waves of colonization through this country, and my parents came over kind of like with colonization instructions, but I think they were also, I think my mum was particularly running away from England. But what I discovered is that the currency in New Zealand changed from pounds and shillings to dollars and cents in 1967. And the two-year-old ritual I've placed as an Easter ritual, because I just freak out every Easter, I freak out every Christmas, I freak out every New Year. It's just all that energy just comes up. And hopefully this Easter I'm going to be better because I've done so much more clearing and you know, all of that. But what I realized is that they were using me to fuel that legislation through the Rothschild involvement in the, you know, because they're the big bankers in the New Zealand currency, which was and so that was 1966 April that I would have placed that ritual. And it was even, I've had people look into declinations in astrology, and sure enough there was one right there. And it was like there was the astrologer that looked at it said, wow, whatever happened here, this was highly planned, this was, you know, this was huge. And so lots of puzzles just fit together. I'm in a constant state of prayer, and I'm always asking, show me this and show me that. And then, you know, I go into that communication with, I call them mum and dad now because I've got so close to them, you know, and they do, they always show me. And I believe that a lot of the SRA survivors are actually, we're decoding the matrix, we're decoding the captivity that we've had here on this planet and the trauma-based abuse and why it's been here, and getting free of it is actually what will bring that unity that, you know, humanity can actually enter into. So I'm going all over the place, but yeah, because it's such a big story, there's so many pieces to pull together. And also that two-year-old ritual, I'm trying not to be too graphic, I don't want to traumatize people. There was many layers to that. It seems like the rituals, it's not just one event. They seem to have one event and then you think it's over and there's another and then it's another until you're like, you know, I actually believe that I did die in that one. And because I was out of my body, and I remember looking down and seeing where I was lying on the floor, and what was around me, which was absolutely disgusting. But part of that ritual, a pregnant woman was sacrificed, and she appeared to be Māori. And that's what the colonization has been. And so they've used the colonial blood, which was on my bloodline, or the English, and it's pitted people against each other, divided people, where they put in writ, you know, writ in, the writ in word, you know, they make treaties and declarations, and it's kept all the people in captivity, but it's also kept people divided. And and it's been done through financial institutions. So they you know, what I've found is they control the whole globe. So I think I should, you know, and so yeah, what happened was I'd had this terrible experience with this therapist. I had no support anymore. I was too scared to go to any more therapists. I didn't know what to do. I was just on my own. I was sort of felt like I was stuck in this place, and I was just like just hanging out in my bedroom all the time. And I really didn't know. I was just praying and praying, like, what to do. I chose to go back and start to engage with more support. And then I got moved into this little space here, which was a miracle. It was absolute miracle how it happened. And I needed to be on my own and in a place where I could just heal. And when I'd called Marie, and she'd sort of said, oh, I can help you, you know. And I still wasn't like ready. I was still like, oh no, you know, like I didn't trust. And then I was just right at the end of it one day, and I just thought, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die if I can't get help, because it was so serious. And mostly in bed, and I was just like, or just meditating. I couldn't read properly because of the pressure in my head, and it was just hell, really, apart from my connection, which I would have with mum and dad all the time, which kind of brought me back into myself constantly. But I, you know, in a moment of desperation, I called Marie, because she said, you can call me anytime. And I was like, I remembered. And that particular day, she just held such presence, and she was like, Poppy, we need to pull these out from the bottom, these weeds, you know, we need to, I'll give you sessions. And I got it in that moment, and I went, yes, please, yes, yes. And we started, and I've had like 11 sessions, I think, and that was starting last year. They've been sort of approximately 2 weeks apart, and it has gone so deep into the things that honestly I could not see without that support, with someone holding there, standing there, and doing it in such a safe way, where you're not re-traumatized. You're actually getting into it, and you're plucking it out, and you're bringing those hemispheres of the brain together, like with the connecting the feeling with the expression of the words, handing it back to where it needs to go. And it's all done with source. Like, so when I talk about source, which is what Brandon Bay talks about in her book, it's also a therapy I used to use in my retreats. So it's all within divine. It's all a divine process. There's no revenge in here. It's like allowing the highest good to happen to the perpetrators as well as to me, but to get this off, you know, of my being. And so I think it's your turn, Marie. What do you feel?
Let me first just say, there, you know, a big part of these testimonies is the unsung hero is always the helper, you know, whether it's a spouse or a friend. Like, thank you, Marie, for stepping up and saying, call me anytime. You know, that's so important for a survivor, just to have that, even if they don't want anything to do with it, even if they're not trusting right now, just to know that somebody's offering that is so instrumental. And I think that's so beautiful, that even though you might not have fully understood what she was going through, because she might have been closed off and, you know, a little bit hesitant to tell you, that you were still like, whatever you're going through, it's okay if you don't want to talk about it, but if you do, I'm here, you know, and I love you and I'm here, you know. And to hear that, Poppy, that, you know, just on your end, like how much that meant to you, you know, it's like, it's the unsung hero in a survivor's journey are those very rare people who are the soldiers and the pillars, and who step up and are like, I'm here, you know? So I love that. And I'd love to introduce you to Marie. Let's talk a little bit about
one more thing, which I think is really important, is that I was really, really bumpy and really, really hostile and really anti anyone connecting with churches, healing. I was triggered left, right and center, but Marie could hold that and see that, and she could hold me even through that, like real bumpiness. Like I was just spilling out. And so, you know, that was another thing. She could see through that.
Oh, so much empathy. Let's talk about, Marie, what was your path? How did you get into helping, or I guess the career path that you took of wanting to help, but then what specifically, how did you end up working with survivors and what's your path, and talk a little bit about what you do?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I love sharing that, that she just shared with you about the, what I do feel is a lot of people have these entities attached to them. So whether that's unknown to them or known to them, that these entities are working through the practitioners. So they fall into the occult, and they fall into brainwashing themselves. They believe what they're doing. So whether they're aware of it or not, they are working by these puppet masters that are working through these practitioners. And so some of them do come with a good heart. They do definitely want to help, but then they are not aware that they are already themselves having attachment driving them. So, and that is everywhere at the moment across the world. And so discernment right now has taken me all my life to just really sharpen my discernment and remember back to my little child, because this inner child coming into the world, I was adopted at birth, and so I was sitting in a incubator for 4 weeks, 5 weeks before I was taken home to a loving family. And in those 4 weeks, with my journey journeying back, once I'd been a journey practitioner and started healing my own memories, I actually went back to those. I've been back before my life, my as well. So I have all, I literally have what I call the library, which is your DNA, awake and available. Because it's never really, I think trauma kept it the opposite for me. It kept it awake. It was like, you can't forget this, you can't forget this. So each lifetime I would bring it with me, like new books in the library, new books in the library. Don't forget this, don't forget this, don't forget this. And so coming in into the incubators for 4 weeks, journeying back as an adult to that little child, I started seeing children disappear. This is contentious. This is just my memories. But children, torch lights would come through at night, which I found quite unusual that as a one-week-old baby, a torchlight would be coming into the room, and then a baby would be taken out, and then what? I don't know. So we were the unwanted babies, and some of us were placed for adoption, and I don't know what happened to the rest of them. As I, you know, I mean, I don't know, but this is what I was having as a child, even these, like, puzzling thoughts, like, what? And so I had kind of fear, like, am I gonna find a family that loved me? Like, I was already anti the world. I was like, I don't know about this place. I don't know if I want to be here. It doesn't feel very safe to me. I'm picking up a lot of dodgy dealings, and I don't like it. I was also journeying as an adult back into meeting my birth mother. And she's just recently passed, and she wrote a memoir. And reading her memoir, actually the day after she died, I was lying in her bed reading her book, and I was in the book. But in the book, she also shared with me in life as well that she had had voices, and she was an abused child from very early when she lived in Fiji. People would come and abuse children, and I don't think her parents actually even knew, because they were busy running the guest house. And they also had a lot of black magic. And the mothers and women and people were getting into Ouija boards and things like this, and so there was quite likely she was entity attached right there and then as a young child, and her whole life was trying to get rid of the voices that sort of set her onto a path of it was the 60s as she'd moved to New Zealand and they were using drugs, and she had bipolar disorder, and it was really amplified during that time, taking a lot of drugs. she went on a really horrific path. Some of it I knew that she told me, some of it I was shocked to read in the memoir. And possibly in Canada when she ended up there, she was dating a billionaire, and that's my understanding and my intuition from what I read and what I saw. Having your birth mother not be present in your life, you had this real strong energetic bond. So when I met her, she was telling me things. I was like, I know that, I know that, I know that. Like I knew it. And I actually lived through a lot of these things vicariously through our bond. So it kept me safe from using drugs, and it kept me safe from a lot of promiscuity and a lot of times, because I felt she was going through such a lot, and I was living it through her, through our telepathic bond of heart love. And so in Canada, she'd been involved with a lot of cocaine, and Lot was losing her mind and was quite likely taken down into being sold one night and ran away. Okay. And she managed to get herself back to New Zealand. And when she landed back in New Zealand, she had her own psychotic breaks and ended up in one of our country's quite notorious wards, ward 7 or 11 in Carrington, and was electric shock treated, and I believe rituals would take place there for her. And she doesn't really know how long she was there as well, because the medication zombified everybody. And so reading all this, it was really putting puzzle pieces in place for my memories. And I was going, oh, right, these are not my memories. These are her memories that I lived through with her. I had a lot of memories. I had a lot of memories of my family, of her life, of my life, my past lives. And then I was empathic, so I was picking up on the world and everybody around me. So I got really blurry about what was my memories and what was everybody else's. But it actually helped me realize that empathy wasn't. Initially, I wanted to kill myself because the empathy was too much. I could feel these things were true, and these things were happening to children, and I didn't like the world. I really did not want to be here. But I kept getting my soul guidance come in and say, wait, 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 don't go anywhere. This is important. Pay attention. It'll all be okay. So I had this reassuring soul part of me that was stroking me, going, you're fine, this will make sense. And so after she died, our country went into lockdown. Actually, before she died, we went into lockdown, and it was in lockdown that I'd written to you to say that on that piece of paper that I wrote down, that in lockdown I was getting targeted in the etheric realm. And so we had connected on a few YouTube channels, a few different people around the world. Everybody sort of got online and found, you know, different things to resonate with. And I found a few different people to resonate with, who were starting to speak of some of the same experiences I was experiencing in lockdown. And one of them was that a lot of us were being visited and being targeted in our dream space and in our wake space, in the mind space. And so I did sort of think I was losing my mind, because some of these things were unreal. But I had this gut instinct that these were quite real. And so one of them was, in one of my visions, a massive minotaur, like, came shadowing over me. And I was shaking. I was terrified. And it gave me the deepest fear, and like I'd seen it before in another lifetime. So I was literally terrified. And it would come and it would try to terrify me and put me in that state of powering over me. And listening to some of these people on these podcasts saved my life, because they were saying, wait, you're having that, I'm having that, she's having that, we're all having that. And then different people were on different journeys along, you know, with how they were dealing with it. So we were sharing how we were dealing with it. And some of them were braver than others. And so I sort of got to look behind the picture at the play that was happening. And so these things were being sent to scare us, to keep us in fear, so that we weren't going to bust through this layer of knowing. So the lockdown had taken you really into yourself, and a lot of things were waking up. A lot of your spiritual gifts were waking up. People were kind of getting more in touch with soul and soul mission, soul memory, things like that. So these things were sent to, like, as soon as the awakening starts to happen, nope, we're going to shut that down. But luckily, these people on the podcast, I don't know, we were just like, there's only three of us. And a whole bunch of other listeners and viewers, but I guess they were being affected as well. But I was really getting the fact that if I don't have the fear, it would be different. So then the next time this gigantic, different, other scary, you know, demonic looking things would come, I just heard my soul part. I'd activated my soul part, and she just calmly said, "Ah, good one. You really had me then. You really got me scared for a minute. But no, I don't feel scared." And I saw this giant minotaur, hologram almost, just shrink. And the analogy I give you is like when you blow up a balloon and it's big. Well, actually, it wasn't an analogy. I was dialoguing with it telepathically. And it started shrinking. And it ended up as a unicorn. And it was a tiny, weeny little unicorn, really cute. And it had breasts. And I was really confused. I was like, I am so confused by what I'm seeing. I must be, like, part of me was like, I am fucking going nuts right now, excuse me. But the other part is going, no, pay attention. So I watched this giant, scary, holographic thing shrink down into this, actually, the energy changed. And it started talking to me. And it's, no, I was completely nuts talking to a unicorn. It said, "You just took the fear right out of me, so I can't exist as that giant thing." And so the whole world breathes fear into these things, then they are big and they are menacing. They can have that vision to come and scare the children like Monsters, Inc. And, wow. But if you don't have fear, then the true essence of the lighter side of what the spectrum that they hold, okay, the light spectrum that they have inside them can be revealed. And so the fear took out all the darkness, all the heaviness, all the ancient fear. It just literally transformed in front of me. And I had this light bulb moment. And it was through talking to this thing that says, look, I don't really... It was all business after then. It was like, I don't really want to do this job. You seem like a really nice person. I've been assigned to you. You know, the jig is up. You know, we know that our time is numbered. I'm just, you know, fulfilling my contract I can't get out of. And I said, well, you just transformed right in front of me. And what's with the boobs? Because this thing had boobs. And it said, well, this is part of the trans agenda. And I'm linked in with Baphomet, and it gave me boobs. You know, like it was just all just like crazy. So this unicorn was a male, and yet it had been given breasts. It was so confused. It was much like on Earth, these entities were confused about what was controlling them. And I said, look, I'm pretty certain that you don't have boobs. So I think that you should want to go back to your pure form. And we had this amazing conversation. This is all in the lockdown, and you know, you can't communicate with other people so well. And so I'm having so many visions and unpicking, decoding my mission. And so from that transformation, I just saw that I didn't have to do anything. There was no healing. It was just removing. It was actually what you pull out of the way that changes and transforms everything. So without fear, you can see clearly the real things. So these boobs disappeared, and this unicorn was back to a beautiful, pure unicorn. And I basically said, you know, off you go. You're free. And I said the words free, and it just disappeared. So it was kind of like it was waiting for somebody to remind it that it was always free. So in that, my marriage is falling apart because I'm trying to explain these things, and my partner is doing the best he can to support something that he can't fully understand. And yet it's waking up memories in him as well, and I'm triggering memories in him. And there was also, I don't want to talk too much about his life, but there was child abuse there and entities on him that when we finally met were then now targeting me. And these were the ones I would see as, I actually saw as a beautiful, it looked like a white goddess, like that she had almost like dreadlocks, white dreadlocks and pale, pale skin. And I thought she was a sex goddess because we were having beautiful connections deeper than I'd ever had in my life. But what I realized during the lockdowns also is that she was a vampire. And she was actually using the beautiful union to take off of me my essence, my life power. So in a number of years, my iron levels diminished to the point where my doctor was ringing me saying, how are you standing? How are you breathing? I'm very worried about you. You need to come in and do what I tell you and have a blood infusion, and just so you can survive. And so with energy, the energy is first. Energy drives our body, and then it determines the energy available in our physical body, in our blood, in our muscle mass, in our brain power. And so by draining, this vampire had taken the beautiful sacred union of lovemaking. And at that portal where the male and the female enter into, because we were personal, having beautiful tantric experience, what I thought was tantric experience, which was taking us sort of out of physical shell and making us that vast, boundless, merging with one. It was cosmic. It was amazing. It was the most incredible feeling I had. But I was still getting the pictures. My soul was giving me pictures, and it had shown me that the chalice, the chalice that the Masonics use in a lot of their symbolism is the female portal to creation. And so when a lot of sex magic is used, and a lot of you already know that how that is used through the male child and the female act, that when you can enter that portal, you don't only just take the power of the child, you take the life force of the child, which comes with so many cosmic gifts, and you drain it off, and you drain it off to where the physical body and Poppy's health and all these survivors' health just diminishes, because the physical body can't. I too am going all over the place, but it can't run the body because you don't have your own energy system. You don't have full power of source going through your chakra system. So I actually saw the vision of a golden chalice right where we were making love, and I realized, oh my gosh, they are using my husband and I for the sacred union to allow things to enter to the earth and allow myself to be used as a portal to bring in these things. And these things, these entities started shaping my behavior, and I was being very aggressive and very not myself. And programming as well was being told to me. The word Wetiko, you know, has always been used as programming through these entities that make you think it's your own mind that is sabotaging your life. And so I was getting all this information while it was happening to me, but also the soul part was describing this is what's happening. So I was having my own counseling from my soul part. And so my mind was in a lot of parts, and I was observing my behavior change with my partner, and he also got very much more demanding because I was starting to cut off the practice, you know, of entering into this portal, and so on many layers, sex addiction, the need to be needed and have intimacy is puppeted by a lot of these vampires needing to have that union so that they can. So I got a lot of all this big, broad kind of context, and it woke up my memories when I was a child that it was all to do with the children, and it was all to do with me helping the children, and that this would all kind of drop into place. And so more investigation, as I was sort of counselling and healing myself, I didn't want to take blood infusion, and then I was so anti taking foreign matter into my body that I was dying and literally draining energy. My iron levels were so low, and investigating that, discovered that the iron is actually your armor of protection between your personality and the space of oneness around you, that you are your individual character, and you need an armor to kind of buffer you from that. So the iron became very important. And I did, my soul said, no, this is life-saving, take it, put your prayer on it, it's safe, take it. And I had two infusions just to boost me back up to nearly okay. And then I did the journey work to go in and dialogue with my blood. And that's when I found a lot of ritual from other lifetimes. And they were tying up with a lot of memories. And my husband and I had lifetimes together during the sex slavery days, way back in Mesopotamia and different other lifetimes. So there was the knowledge that none of us are strangers to each other. We all come to play again to help wake up the memories. And so when I met Poppy, I knew that we were sisters. I knew that we needed to do something, and I was waiting for her to be ready. And I had done all of my journey training, was really proud of cleaning and clearing my cells of this lifetime's trauma. And in that clearing was then accessing and available all of the other books of all of the other lifetimes. And I was just a lot more clearer to look into the world and see the connections in the bigger picture and the memories, and not have so much attachment and have more detachment to the emotional grief that I was feeling, that really this isn't a healthy world, and these practices that are going on are far from paradise. But I did not want to enforce this sort of the suicide programs that I had kept coming up. These programs that, you know, anytime you get close to the truth, it's like a suicide program just gets put on anybody and triggered, and you think it's yourself, and you think you're falling down in your own health and mental health, and you can almost be your worst enemy. But actually it's the programming, and it's the entities, and it comes all the way down upon you. So having pulled a lot off myself, I realized, well, that's not so difficult actually, and I need to help people that are thinking that they are their own problem. They are their own, you know, they can't think of free themselves. They think it's all because they are, it's their own mind that's created their bad health and their terrible living situations. But I wanted to say that I had found Laura, my gosh, I just lost her name, but a beautiful lady at Soul Centre Healing Hypnosis in the UK, and she had currently has a program for learning the hypnosis technique. And that was another thing. Hypnosis had always been programmed into me as a fear. Don't go into hypnosis, they will brainwash you and implant memories, and that sort of came through the programming of movies and things watched in the 70s and 80s, and so it had kept me away from hypnosis. But having gone into, Laura Whitworth is her name, highly recommend her programs. I started to train with her, and I'm still training, but I felt not even completely finishing the program that I was using these techniques and having the remembrance that I could communicate with these entities. And it just all came down to business. Like I say, these conversations were just like talking to you. I didn't have any fear of these things, and so I could actually talk to the soul essence of these things. And so I thought, well, if I can do this, I can teach other people to do this and hopefully start to emotionally release using the journey, take out some of the fears, some of the programs, some of the blockages, so that they can then take the next layer off of their human programming that they've learned in this lifetime that's dumbed them down and shut them down and kept them captive to keep their power down. And really it is all about power and light and service to God and to the freedom on the planet. So anything that keeps them down would keep these people in their own prison. And another one was learning Jerry Mazinski, who worked in the mental health systems, and saw these people, like my mother, in these places like asylums. They were called mental asylums, and even in the prisons, and then the people with the schizophrenia and the bipolar disorders, and then the medication. And he started unplugging for me a lot of things that were like, yes, I know this. I've always been afraid of somebody coming and taking me away in a straitjacket if I talk about these things. But I realized it was that fear came from that actually happened to my mother, that she was in a straitjacket and then they electric shock treated her. So I was kind of having memories and fears she was living through. I didn't realize that because I didn't know her as I was growing up, but she was experiencing these things. So she wasn't able to free herself from the voices. She tried to use the Bible and free herself with her connection to God. And so I kind of feel on behalf of her, I'm still alive. I wasn't aborted. And also coming to meet Poppy, I knew, right, it's time to go to work. And I'd done a lot of work with people on their own lifetime, cellular memories, and removed a lot of pain for a lot of people. But now it was really time to go to work, to really get to these puppet masters that were driving humanity. So it all kind of, all my puzzles sort of came together. And Poppy said yes, and we just started. And then I did it voluntarily because it was our mission. It was our mission that these two sisters needed to come together, free her energy and give it back to her and pull off all these suckers that were taking it and all these programs. And we just go very intuitively and organically using the, this is Brandon Bays, if anybody knows her, she's online. And you'll find me as a trainer there as well. If you go into want to do the program, you can do that at home, your own home. Well, there's journey practices all over the world. But so we used the basis of that emotional relief to pull off. But what Poppy and I were discovering was the amount of AI technology that was implanted in her. And I'd had a little bit of information through meeting Laura Whitworth and hearing that kind of thing. So it wasn't new to me. I didn't think I'd be working to remove it until it all kind of came together. I was like, little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and then it opens my power into organically crafting, okay, well, what are we doing in this session? So emotions get released, memories get released, and talking about the emotions as a gateway, that the lower spectrum, on the light spectrum, you've got your lower frequency emotions. They can trap you. They can keep you stuck. They're not good or bad. They're just heavy. They're like a heaviness that sits on the cell's high vibration, like a cat. And so when we remove the emotion, the energy can then drain out the lower frequency energy. And there you are with a pristine cell, like a battery cell of power. And in that has its own beautiful memory to your cosmic soul mission. So what we've just been doing is, like I said to Poppy, pulling out weeds in her beautiful Garden of Eden. I don't even know if it's Garden of Eden, but the Garden of Paradise on Earth, this free earth that we have. And so pulling out the weeds, they ended up being, especially in her area around here, and in her cancers and things that she had in the past, technology. And that was fascinating, and it just flowed very organically. Didn't copy, like we were just doing it together. I wasn't so much doing it. We were asking these entities to pull off their technology, because they had in the journey we'd come to an understanding, right, it's time for you to go. You do not have consent of this being. And they knew. It was like firing a manager. It was like, your time is up, you know, pick up your stuff off your desk and leave. And so they were pulling things out voluntarily. We did not have to do the work. It was never designed to be in our body. And once we discovered that we involuntarily gave consent, because we probably didn't have any clue. A lot of these survivors have no clue that they're being used in this way. So when you finally come to realization, oh my gosh, I do have consent over my body, my mind, my soul, I rebuke it and I take it back. They do not have, in this free will universe, the right to have it. So then they take it. And so that's been a fascinating extra part of it. And so even with that, I've gone back into myself and cleared out things. I've had implants. I got taken in as a child again after being adopted. It was like they might have done something in that 4 weeks while I was in the incubator to implant things into a lot of these babies. And as I was growing through my healing and starting with the journey, I would get babies and animals come in the etheric world going, help me, help me, help me, help me. And they'd give me information. They'd give me, I saw pictures of nurses that were taking babies out of hospitals in Whanganui down our country. And I was going, wow, they're stealing babies from hospitals. And then there was people that were going through rituals that were in rituals, like Poppy left her body and they would come to me. Because I was obviously a light that they could see once they were in that kind of near-death phase. You know what I mean? So in that etheric realm, I was very aware and awake and able to see. And it didn't scare me. It was like I knew it was part of my mission to communicate. I just didn't know how to do the joining the dots and like, well, what do? I got a phone number for a guy who has entity attachments. Do I just ring the phone number? Like for a lot of years, I did nothing with the information. It was coming really clearly from my soul source and from these etheric beings that were desperate cries for help. But finally, we came to like, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. This is my lane, the emotional realm, the energetic realm, the etheric realm, and it all kind of tied up together. So 11 journeys with Poppy, and she is well within her own sovereign space now. I absolutely can say that for her, that there is probably more to pull out and definitely more memories to more cells in her body that are holding this heavy emotional and energetic holding of pain. And so it's just a case of just like wringing the sponge out of her body. But even right now, she's on her missions doing grid work around the world. She'll probably speak much more about that. But in our journey session, even healing will be happening straight away. Like it's kind of like you pull out a plug, and then all the work that she should have been or could have been doing in her life, we just do it in the journey. And so she's helping the waters of the earth. She's helping ley lines. She's helping. So much gets happening in a journey for the people once we've pulled off their brake and their shutdown programs, that they just start doing their soul purpose. And so I think all of these people that are survivors have been targeted on purpose because they have such great and powerful clearing for the planet. And so this is a way to get people back on track with their and they might not even know, you know, and that they might even just be doing it just by being the people they are, being the love that they are, and not being afraid to love again, being kind and accepting help or giving help, you know. But while they're in a state of shutdown, that they can't help anybody or anything. And so, I don't know, does that kind of explain a little bit?
Yes, thank you so much. One thing that I took that I really love that you said was taking things off. You know, so many times with anything that we do, if we want to do something good, a lot of times you have to add stuff. And that can be really overwhelming. It's a little bit easier to say, what do I already have that I can take away? You know, yeah. So I really appreciate you speaking on that, because that's like an easy tip.
I call it like the mud, Emma. It's like there's this beautiful, pristine cell, and they've just put mud, heavy, heavy mud over the top of it. So we're pulling and cleaning, like water blasting from the inside out. And it is definitely what you remove, pulling out, because there is the divine child. There is the source creator just pouring through you in your pillar of light. It's pure. You just need to take everything off.
Yeah. And I mean, that can apply to say, if you want to get healthier by going on a diet, instead of saying, what do I need to add? I need to add chicken and rice and vegetables. And that can be overwhelming. Instead of saying, why don't I just take soda out? Or why don't I just take the cake that I eat every night?
Anything out? That interferes with your natural processing of the function of the body and the brain.
Yeah. Yes. And so, Poppy, I'd love to turn it over to you. You're on mute right now, so if you want to unmute yourself, I'd love for you two to maybe talk a little bit about, like, what were some of the things, Poppy, that you found that needed removed for your healing? And then, you know, Marie, you can talk about how you helped her do that, and we can talk a little bit about how you guys work together to make you, Poppy, a little bit more light, you know, and taking off some of this baggage off of your shoulders.
Yeah, I would say that the main thing is actually been identifying the programming that has come with the illnesses. So, you know, like what happens in the process is you really connect with the body and you let the body speak, and it's amazing. Like you take mentors into the process, which are just like people that can give you guidance. So it's like, it's, you know, I think it goes along with parts therapy almost a little bit, is that you're gathering everything together, and sometimes this part of you can't speak, but that mentor can. And, you know, like, so it's all within the process. So, yeah, there's, for me, so much is around my jaw. And it's interesting because I believe that I was born with information that needs to be shared to help this planet through and people. And so what I realized about these two, so there's something I feel that I need to say, is that the Luciferian and the all these satanic energies, what they do is they usurp the will of the earth, you know, like, if we look at our earth now, it's in this terrible state of pollution. Like, she's been raped and pillaged, just like, you know, I felt so much empathy for the earth because of what happened to me. And I thought, it's just the same thing. It's really the same thing.
Poppy, on that, I just got the vision of going into a journey. I went into Uluru, which is Ayers Rock in Australia, and going down under Ayers Rock and actually having information with the crystal realm. And the crystal realm was saying, you know, look at us, we are raped, we are pillaged with all the mining, you are stripping us of our lifeblood. And the vision was that it wasn't going to remain, and then I actually saw it regreening. I saw Australia regreening. So as mother that has been raped, her children then also.
Yeah, so I'm just sort of thinking which ritual to go into. So, because you had that beautiful guest Rachel Bond, and she started, and she really connected some dots for me, because, I was in my face. I actually feel like I was hit with a shovel across here, and there's been head injuries, and I've even been treated for head injury. Like, I've had all the signs of head injury. And, you know, losing different parts of my brain function, which has, you know, has had to come back. But, yeah, you know, so you feel it all in there. And then the body starts speaking, and it reminds you of things, and you throw that image up onto a projector. So that's really cool. So you're not actually in it. You're observing it from the outside, which just gives it that healthier distance to see it. And yeah, I saw myself in an open grave ritual, and it was just like, oh my gosh, I'm outside. There's the moon, and there's people over me looking down, and I'm straight in the earth. Like, and my question was, well, how come I wasn't in a coffin or anything, you know? And then when Rachel spoke, I thought, oh my God, this is a ley line ritual, and you know, like, it's Masonic. So the Masonics, they know everything about the geometry of the earth. They know the ley lines. They know how to use it. And the funny thing was that my memories all actually started to come in when I started to do this grid work, and I was actually in Malaysia. And one of the things I really felt to do was to do do some spiritual, you know, like to gift the crystal into the waters. And it was all for the child trafficking that was around Malaysia and Thailand. And I hadn't even really started to have my memories. But after I did that, my memories started to come, and I couldn't get away from them at all. And that was sort of like in 2017. So, you know, all of this information would come sort of flooding in, but I'm still bringing pieces together. And my body is talking. And so what would happen, I would get the feeling of going in and out of consciousness all the time. And then what I realized is that they bring us very, very close to almost death. And I think that sometimes we do actually die and they bring us back. And this must be where the medical personnel come in, and the dodgy police, and the dodgy, you know, the ones that are actually protecting it. You know, like I've even found out that if you try to report SRA to the police, they've got a particular police that are assigned to it, and they're probably Masonic. I don't know. But started to see how the Masonic part was all very, very, very tied in, and that only came when I started to do the sessions with Marie. Like, she sits there and holds space, and she allows the memories. But I sang to her, I'm in an open grave. And she goes, yes, that's a ritual. That's all I needed to hear at that time, because I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, well, you know, and it's kind of like sometimes you doubt that what you're seeing is true. And then everything follows and it shows, oh, that was absolutely true. That happened, you know. And it's like, you know, I get so overwhelmed at the depravity of it all and the programs that are put.
Can I just say there, Poppy, for the people that are listening, because as you're a survivor, you've been kept isolated and alone. And what I was saying is you think a lot of these things are from your own mind. You have got yourself into a state that you believe, and the programming is saying it's your fault, this is your mess, you're in it. But actually, just going what you just said there, that when I just said to you, you've had a memory and we've put it up on the screen and we're watching it, and I can say to you, yes, that's a ritual, because I've heard from other survivors these rituals, you see, and I've got memories of knowing that it's a ritual. But that, to you as a child, you don't understand why you're there.
No.
And so this is going to help Poppy connect with other survivors, because other survivors have gone down. This is like a playbook that they play, and all these children have gone through these same rituals. So I'm hoping that there is these networks that are going to connect, where you know ultimately this happened to you. It hasn't happened because of you. It's not a one-off thing. This is something that a lot of children are experiencing around the world.
And there was even there were so many programs which meant I wasn't even allowed. I was energetically blocked from even connecting with the other people, and I was the parts of me that were very, very out were like fighting and resisting, and it was like I was sabotaging. I wasn't sabotaging myself. The programs were sabotaging my being, wanting to keep me isolated and separated and apart, because I do. I've been living very much like a hermit for a very, very long time. And, you know, like also when you're unwell and you can't get out and all these sorts of things. So part of me is like, at times I just, I don't have that social connection, and then just about everybody that I did try to socially connect with, it's all too much for them, and it was all too much for me, and it was like, it was just impossible. And so that was, you know, there were definitely isolation things. Like, what I realized is what the Masons did, and that came up in another one of the journeys, is I had the black cube thrown on me, which is what, it's a ritual they do to Masons who step out of line, who break their covenants or whatever. It's the worst form of cursing that there is. They curse your whole life. You'll never have love. You won't be able to do any, your money will never work for you. You just can't survive in this life. You get scapegoating, everything gets turned around and put on me, so it always looks like I am the problem for everything. There's a whole spiritual community that's kind of against me because of the conclusions that they've made. But then again, you know, I'm not seeing, it's only when people have that absolutely direct connection with father and mother that they seem to have the true empathy. And there's so many people that are actually used and instrumental in keeping that. And because I'm a little bit like Marie and I see into those other dimensions, you start to see the entities and the things that are supporting those people, and you realize it's actually never the person, it's always the host that's coming through them. And and people are, that they're hosted, but people also choose to have guides. There's a lot of talk about having guides in that sort of new age spiritual community, but these guides are, some of them are hosts, and so, you know, they're particularly nasty. They give the person status, power, money, approval, fame. You see that in the celebrity world. Those celebrities are actually taking from children all that energy to create themselves to be famous. And, you know, like, it's, this is how the energy is moving around. And this new era that we're entering into of pure unity consciousness means that we are self-sustaining energies. We don't take energy off anyone anymore. And the problem is that we've had eons now of energy being given and taken and harvested and collected financially, energetically, blood sacrifice, all of these things.
And so with that, you copy the journey and other modalities that will really clear up that cellular distorted light, so that you can have your connection to the source, infinite energy light coming into the body through the crown chakra, having all the chakras cleaned up, and the connection, the root chakra down to earth. So the rituals with the children and the sodomy is to sever that connection to the earth energy, so that you will be reliant, and also sever that connection to the crown energy, so that you become a battery, and that battery can go flat and need recharging. So this is where humanity has come into this kind of taking energy off people, siphoning it so that I feel flat, so I need to take it from here, rather than stay open to source, which is infinite energy, and then having a healthy cell receptor that's open through love, through trust, through light, to fuel the body, and then have that earthed and grounded, so utilize that power. So part of the journey therapy, even regardless of SRA, is to get people reconnected to that infinite flow. It's always flowing, of course, anyway, but the body becomes like this container that shuts down and contracts. And so that's where these children are left. They're left in a contracted state. But this, going back to the jaw poppy, you can talk about, it depends how much you want to say, but with the throat not being allowed to speak and using a lot of sexual acts through the mouth, and having arms tied behind your back, how poppy's body and spine have been distorted, and this damage that is done to a lot of these survivors is to destroy that throat chakra and that heart chakra and that root chakra. So she's done incredible cellular recovery and energetic recovery, and a lot is still in that damage from if you don't mind me saying, from the blows to the head, which is to sever all of this crown attachment to source, to a god, and to her memories of her soul, and then to shut that throat so that no words get ever spoken, to ask help, to speak of such things that she's enjoyed.
While I've been healing, I've had so much trouble speaking and getting it out, you know, and I still, you know, like I fumble over words and all of these things, but I'm really determined to keep saying these messages, because, like, it's funny because, you know, all of this has happened to me, and yet often people think I'm arrogant because I have this knowledge which I feel really needs to be shared. And it's certainly not coming from a place of arrogance. It's coming from a place of this love of this planet and for humanity to return to humanity in a trauma-free environment. Because while we are under those spells, literally, black magic, you know, humanity is getting traumatized over and over and over, and keeping people going round and round and round in the false time matrix.
I feel that this is a time to actually share something important. I don't know if it's been heard and been spoken of before with other survivors, but Poppy, how do you feel about talking about what happened to that mother and the baby, then what happened in the journey of the recovery of the soul? How do you feel about that?
Because of
what it's done to Mother Earth.
Yes. And it's done it by putting money system in to feel that.
Yeah.
So that was part of a ritual. So there were several things that happened in that ritual. So I was kind of up on an altar, like on a knees, and a goat behind me in a crate. And there was someone who was orchestrating that whole ritual, and he made me feel very, very special, that I was going to go into something very, very special.
Hold on, Poppy. It was about the mother. Is this about the mother?
Yeah, about the mother. So she was held down. She was held down by, so I was looking out over the floor. Lucifer was being summoned up here. She was down. She was being held down, and someone had a knife, and it was a specific knife, which I found connects to images of Kronos, but who's the false time matrix lord in a sense. But, they cut that baby out of her, and she was just terrorized, absolutely terrorized. And her soul went into me as a dark mother component that was all the way through my life. So,
and how old were you, Poppy?
2. Yeah. So I had this attachment that was with me, which caused hatred of non-Māori people, hatred of Māori people on my soul.
So can I just clear that for the listeners? Just to explain there, so the mother that was pregnant that had her baby taken out of her obviously went completely black because she just saw the creation had destroyed her life and the baby's life. So she had a hatred for the world, hatred for the man that was doing her ritual. And so that hatred, as the mother and the baby lost their life, entered in and was attached now in Poppy. So Poppy, the beautiful child, had a dark, wounded, adrenalized mother who hated humanity for taking the life of the baby. Just to clarify, that's exactly how
So they had a white, it was like a christening gown type thing that was on me, but it was all drenched in her blood, like from here down, and that was put on me. the man who seemed to be orchestrating it all, he wasn't like in the robes. He was different. He almost seemed to be more of a suit and a tie. And this is where I feel that he was a Rothschild representative. His emotions did not flinch. They did not change from one moment to the other. And then there was bestiality and attack on my with men in my mouth. So yeah.
And so how that played out in Poppy's adult life was that she didn't realize, even when she was having her own children, that she'd had a black mother energy of just all these wounds in her.
Yeah.
So it was really amazing that she'd lived the life that she lived, because she wasn't just her own energy. She had this other mother and all of her pain, all of her suffering, all of her hatred to kind of shape her. And at the journey, Poppy, if you could just talk about when we met her at the journey, what happened.
Oh, right. So part of what we're doing is that we bring people into, it's a very safe kind of campfire process, and it's like a fire of unconditional love and acceptance. And we were able to, well, I was able to release her spirit to go and be with her baby and to be free. And that was just, and my life changed radically after that. But I also realized in my life that that if I stayed in love, I was stronger. And so everything about me was trying to always connect in with the love side, but there was this contradiction because she would come up and undermine and sabotage and make me look crazy at different times.
She was the neurotic energy. She was so everything that you were displaying wasn't necessarily popping. It was this mother that was just distraught with having had this own. So this is how it's all tied in with keeping Poppy's beautiful light from speaking. So that's the polarity as well, the time of the polarity that they put in you. You have the light, but we're going to put that mud on top of the light. And so our community consciousness is to remove the mud, to remove the energy, the entities, the darkness, even off the world, off the mother itself. And all the mothers.
Which was what Lucifer was doing, and the Lucifer is being summoned up here through the ritual. And I'm seeing that because I saw everything through energy. And that's like, I don't think my sight, my hearing ever developed properly because I got caught there. But, you know, and Lucifer's going, "You will submit." And this was just like really going through me. And it was like I was used as a feminine baby. And born, you know, with this incredible love for the earth and this time of great transition that humanity is going through. And there's all kinds of new age ideas out there. There's all kinds of things. But ultimately, I think it's about us returning to our humanity and helping us to clear away all the trauma that created. Because thoughts become things. And so if you create massive trauma in people, you get thought forms. They become entities. They create our consciousness. So if they can keep a whole population in fear, the thought forms that are coming out are aggressive, they're hostile, they're warring, and look at the war. It's really playing out right now. And so our whole thing is that we, as humans, need to heal all our trauma. And look, if I can do it, I'm sure that many others can.
And because, Poppy, the what I just talked about, the polarity, if every individual that's been ritually abused has such a mission, as Poppy does, to share her May and true time wisdom, if that can be have mud put on it by this traumatized mother, then she will never get free. She will always be in that polarized position. So a contradiction of light coming up and then the pain, the suffering and the lower energies of all that trauma coming down to squash it. So that's very fatiguing. A lot of this chronic fatigue, a lot of anything where people are struggling in energies, they're having a contradiction of the polarity inside them. So it's literally their light tries to come up and live their life and heal the planet, live in love and be that light being that their baby was born to be, the baby they are. So this inner child work going back to release the polarity so that that can come, and then all of these missions of light can start to appear again. So I do feel it's, we're discovering that it's planetary healing. And I'm honoured to be a part of it, and for those that are really willing to go in and release the polarity, come into the unity. But I wouldn't be doing anything if it wasn't for the beautiful Poppy, and we're starting to build a network of a mother that is helping her child, and other people are coming to us to talk to Poppy from all over the world to just bring that network together, to at least have the conversations that will start to open up together and not be isolated and secret.
Yeah.
And thinking that it's their own mind that's destroyed their life.
It's because exposure.
Rediscover that beautiful inner child, purity of light sources.
Yeah. And it is, it's about the light being exposed on that, which is what you're doing, Emma, and so very much part of all of this healing. And, you know, carrying that authentic connection, that empathic, amazing connection with the divine, in which really shines out and shows out. Like, there was a time where I just even couldn't stand the prayers or the anything, but now I can actually see the authenticity because I see the energy. So I can see Christian people with their absolutely authentic intentions, and it's happening, you know.
Well, it's because your nervous system is alive and awake again.
Yeah.
Because her nerves and receptors were closed, she couldn't feel love. So when love was trying to help her, she was in the mind and afraid of allowing it in, because she couldn't have it. She didn't have any receptors open apart from with her child and with it, you know, the parts that she could have open. But we've just helped open all the receptors again. And she's like, the other day she had so much energy. She said, "I woke up with energy, you know, and I can feel." Yeah. She's like, "I can feel the planet love, and I feel it again." So there's just like nature, when you prune back everything, you know, or you try to put lids on things, it has a way of growing, and the nervous system is really what we're dealing with. The
meridian. Yeah, to experience it naturally, instead of having like, now I have to get into meditation and I have to find that space. Now it's like, well, it's around me, you know, like Yeah, but you know, like, but I had so much confusion too about Christianity, because I was a pastor's wife for a period of my life, and the man that I was married to had a satanic black magic. He was doing sex magic, and you know, he was doing it on the days he was paid even to do his sermons, and he was harnessing my energy, and he became a really big handler at that point. And so I was like, oh, it's all upside down. So this is within a church, but it's expressing itself as satanic. But that's not everything, you know. One of the survivors that I'm friends with she's very Christian, and it's been amazing to talk with her and hear her perspectives, because I can actually, you know, now I can see, like, it runs through everything and our intent. Yeah. So, you know,
they haven't wanted you to connect with your Father God. You know, like a lot of us from a lot of our lifetimes having that persecution, pushed away the church, but really we pushed away our connection to source. And so we're all awakening back up that crown to allow what we call God, you know, whatever that is for everybody, but have that pure connection. Source again, and you can't earth anything, you can't manifest anything without that toroidal energetic reality that you are both just like an actual battery. You need the polarity of the earth and the solar power. So
also, when at the 2-year-old ritual at the end, I believe I died and I was lying on the floor looking down at my body, and I had this amazing presence of this incredible golden light and felt the most divine love. And I have, my soul's been looking for that all my life. So, and you know, nature would talk to me and tell me everything's going to be all right. And I would literally hear, you know, when I was in nature. And so I had lots of miracles all through my life. And that is that. That's divine source, whatever we really want to call it. So amazing.
This is so beautiful. I know we're running out of time now. I could talk to you ladies forever. This is such a, it's an enlightening conversation. And I love the different perspectives, you know, that you guys are providing on how to look at interacting with the world and how to almost recognize toxicity within ourselves. And when we realize, when we pull it off of ourselves, then we can really see it in the world because we're not carrying it anymore. So then we can say, oh my gosh, like this is why I didn't feel good. I was around this person, or I was doing this, or, you know, I really love that aspect of pulling things off of us, you know, taking the boulders off of our shoulders, taking the toxic energy, taking the things that don't belong and that don't align to get us to that healing space. And then soaking in what we need, you know, nourishing ourselves. I love, Marie, how you said picturing nature. You know, we can go through and destroy it, but the second we stop destroying it, it naturally wants to grow back. You know, nature is metal, man. Like nature is, it's violent when it needs to be, but it's the same with growth. Like it doesn't stop, you know, just because we want to stop it. And like you said, our nervous system's the same. It wants to protect us. It wants to heal. It's our own resistance to it because we have all these things. We have all the bulldozers inside of us and the cranes and the bricks that don't belong in the landfills, you know? And so we can, whenever we can clean all that up, then all of a sudden we're left with a clean environment and we can grow again. The air is cleaner. We can breathe better. You know, we have more nourishment inside of us. So I think that this is a really beautiful message for people. Cause again, it can be overwhelming to think about all the stuff that we have to add to our life to heal. And there might be stuff that we need to add, right? But a great step to take to just not have it be overwhelming is to say, I already have all this stuff. What can I take away? You know, what's one thing that I can do to take off of myself and to cleanse my, you know, energetic field to just start there, you know, and then move forward one step at a time or five steps at a time, you know, whatever we can handle. And I love that dynamic between you both, that you're able to communicate that so deeply and trust each other. And really just, you know, aside from this being a therapeutic modality, the friendship between you, you know, this bond that you both have, that in itself is so tremendous in one of these journeys for somebody like Poppy to feel love for maybe the first time, to feel friendship, to feel somebody who's like, no matter what you go through, I'm here, I have your back. You know, you're never going to be too sad for me or too angry or too much of a mess. Like, I love you no matter what. You know, and I love, Marie, that you've been that for her and that you've been able to show her that no matter how she shows up, that she's loved and cared about and that she has a pillar there for her, you know, and that she's deserving of it all and that she deserves people that love her and want to be there for her, you know, because she hasn't had that in her life. So thank you so much, Marie, for providing that. And Poppy, you are just, to see you here smiling after all this horrible, horrific things that you have gone through. And I know you just told us, you know, 0.00000001%, you know, of what you actually went through. And to see you here smiling today and to be able to stand in your convictions and talk and almost see a joy in you, you know, this like lightness that you can talk about this now. And it's not something that is destroying you. It's something that you can talk about with confidence and say, I overcame, you know, I'm here. I have a lot to live for. I have a message that needs heard and I still have life to live and I'm going to live it. You know, I think that both of your stories and how you both have helped each other and just the interaction is just beautiful.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. So why don't you both let us know where we can find you online or how people can connect with you? Poppy, if you want to go ahead and go first, is there ways that people can keep up with you or support you? Are you online?
Look, I did have a website. I've been shadow banned. I've just got this little wee YouTube channel, which is sort of like under my initiatives, or we'll put it in the bottom, I guess. But
my ambition.
Thank you very much. Yes, that's it there. So that's sort of my little link, but you know, like I've been only just coming to the surface to put out things as and when I can. And I used to have a lot more going on, but it's all broken down of being quite shadow banned, and they don't want us talking about that kind of thing. And to me, the Mayan things do actually go with the SRA because of that being at the bottom of our society and what needs to be cleared up so much for everybody. It actually affects everybody. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And for people listening, if you're not watching, her handle on YouTube, and I'll have it in the show notes, it's Mayan Missions, at Mayan Missions. And you'll see the words Poppy come up, obviously her name. You'll see that come up as the title of her channel. And then the handle is Mayan Missions. So I encourage you guys to please go support her. She's got a ton of videos. She set a little YouTube channel and it's got tons of videos on it. So it looks like there's a lot of goodies on here for us to learn and dig through. And then what about you, Marie? Where can we find you at?
I'm just very low key. So I have a Facebook page. I haven't really started anything else up because, again, New Zealand has been very much in Facebook jail and Telegram jail and all these sorts of things. So that is my healing page. You can leave a message for me and I will get back to you. I'm trying to keep it not too much with the videos that I would want to share about SRA, because the other channel that I had, which was Inner Space, has been, you know, I just got into trouble and wasn't allowed to share anything there. So I'm trying to keep this as neutral as possible, that if you get a glimpse of resonance, that you feel like you resonate with anything I post, just message me and then we can speak directly. So I do have a little YouTube that I post a few videos on, but they're just under intuitive healing as well. There's just little tips of advice there, but again, I had to start again. So everything's all at the foundling stage, but Poppy and I definitely are creating a chat. We've been having weekly talks with this mother that is supporting her daughter that has been away on her OE and come back to New Zealand, but finding all the memories coming out. So we're committed, Poppy and I, into supporting survivors, not just here in New Zealand, but you know, as and when it suits us to chat with people. So my heart is open for this mission, and not everybody's ready to go to the depths that Poppy has gone. It really is an organic process. So just connect through that Facebook page and we can begin where you're at. And it works really well on Skype. I have the old-fashioned Skype, but Messenger chat video or a Zoom call.
Amazing. Thank you for putting so much online. I love when I see, you know, you guys carry the weight of the world on your shoulders and you're still so giving with giving people free information and your time and your energy and your attentiveness if they reach out. I think that's really beautiful. And again, if you're listening on, say, Spotify or iTunes, Marie's Facebook page, you can type in intuitive healing and I will actually have that in the show notes just in case there's, you know, more than one page that comes up, or if for some reason you can't find it, you can go ahead and click it in the show notes. And then her YouTube page is at Intuitive Healing Marie Freeman. So I will also have that in the show notes, and she has some beautiful videos. They're not too long either, so you guys can go ahead and flow through those and not be committed for hours at a time. Get a lot of great information in a short period of time. Poppy's YouTube channel is filled with videos. And you guys can always reach out to me too via email if for whatever reason you guys can't get a hold of them. Or if say you want to get a hold of Poppy, I can vet for her and help see if it's a good fit and connect you guys directly to her via email or other means to you if it's something that she's open to. So you guys can feel free to reach me as well. But always go connect with the guests, you guys. You know, like Marie said, this material and Poppy, you know, it doesn't get thrown up in the algorithms and it doesn't get millions of views like mainstream things do. It gets very suppressed. It gets terminated. It gets ignored. It gets shadow banned. And all this effort that creators put into giving you guys free information about what's going on in the world, the truth, you know, it gets hidden. So the more that we can sort of help boost those algorithms by following, commenting, sharing, subscribing, following, that all really helps trigger those algorithms into sort of releasing that shadow ban and helping this material be seen, which is what we need. We need more people finding channels like Marie's and Poppy's. We need more people having these conversations. Ultimately, we're so divided. That's one thing the enemy does really well is they're very organized. They're together. They know where all the pieces are, you know, and how we were just talking about today, they've gone through decades and decades and generations of dividing and conquering the other side. So we're split off into all these little bits, pieces, and groups and sides, you know, and we don't know that our power is in coming together, you know, and it's through having these conversations, taking different ideas, different types of people with different experiences, putting it all together into a big pot and saying, how do we organize better than the enemy? How do we almost militarize the enemy and beat them at their own game? You know, we can have a battlefield too and be even more efficient because there's way more of us than there are of them. And we just need to understand what they know and how to apply it for the good. We need to understand the things that we don't see. We need to understand everything that's hidden in the world. And we need to take it upon ourselves to turn all of that and transmute it into something beautiful and good by standing together and unifying for the children. Children don't have political affiliations. Children don't have a side. You know, it's us against perpetrators. There's no other sides that we need. That's it. You know, so that's what we need to come together for. And these two beautiful ladies are doing this amazingly, and they are here for you. They are here to, you know, battle the dark, shine a light on it. And they're both doing it in beautiful, miraculous ways. So please go support them, you guys. And thank you so much, Poppy and Marie, for coming on today.
Thank you.
I would say let's love them to death.
Yes, I love that. Yes. And so with that, you guys, please go connect with them. All the links that I just mentioned, they're in the show notes. All you got to do is just click. They light up no matter what platform you are on. You don't have to copy paste it. Just go click and follow. It's super easy. Do the same with me. I always have my information in the show notes too. Connect with us on all platforms. Support us. We never know where we're going to be today and who's going to delete us tomorrow. So just please support us. That way we can all stay together and stay unified despite all their efforts to suppress us and divide us. So you guys, God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.